We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
LSU, Florida tomorrow night in Baton Rouge at Tiger Stadium is going to be huge. Two top 10 teams. LSU ranked a little higher than Florida, but this is LSU's big test. It's Florida's big test. It's a great SEC showdown, and we'll be talking about it Monday afternoon, but I know many of you are just looking for the right place to watch that game, and some of you are actually going to it. I'm sure there's tailgating going on right now. Some rain's going to sweep through here, but by tomorrow night, it is going to feel like fall at that game. Also, Tulane plays Connecticut. Tulane is 4-1, and they're convincingly beating people. This is at Yulman Stadium, and they play Connecticut tomorrow afternoon. I think Connecticut is 1-4. So it's a game the Green Wave should win, and hopefully they do, because, I mean, it's so exciting to see Tulane doing so well. And the Saints take on the Jaguars in Jacksonville on Sunday. It's Free for All Friday. I'm Scoot. Glad you're with us. We're talking about some of the topics that got a lot of attention this week. And also, I'm going to just do my review of the movie Joker, which I thought was a really excellent, excellent movie. But there was a lot of criticism of the movie because it creates empathy for somebody who is a killer. So we'll talk about all of that coming up. And if you have seen the movie, I'd love to hear your critique of the movie. But right now, I want to take a moment to talk to a distinguished doctor here in the New Orleans area. You know, we don't talk to many professors or doctors or people like that on the show, but, you know, when we do, it's important. And there's a doctor who has been practicing medicine in the New Orleans area for many, many years. And he's really come up with some very, very profound and exciting experiments and discoveries. And so joining us now from the old ice house, the old city ice house in New Orleans, is Dr. Morgus. Dr. Morgus, welcome to our show.
Oh, hey, Chopsley, turn that radio down. It's going to feed back. Yes, good. Oh, great to hear from you.
Morgus, I have great memories of watching you when I was a kid, and I remember one time my parents let me stay up late at night to watch Dr. Morgus, and I learned so much. You almost made me want to become a doctor.
Well, you know, Scoot, that's what's been happening over the years. We inspired people. That was the whole idea of the program, to bring back some intelligence into this world and some good health also, right? Eric can't ask. I don't have Eric turned on. Anyway, yes. Well, listen, of course, you could have been a doctor.
I don't, one thing that I always found interesting about you, Dr. Morgus, is that your white robe, I mean, not robe, but your white medical jacket, it always looks so dirty.
Oh, listen, you're touching something in the family here. You know, that was not my jacket. That lab coat belonged to my father.
Oh, I see.
Oh,
okay.
No, I wouldn't take that off, you know. That was my wardrobe, I mean, sure.
All right, for Dr. Morgus, for those who have moved here and they're not familiar with you, Dr. Morgus used to do the movie wraparounds on, I guess it was a Saturday night, and he was really a very integral part of the city of New Orleans. In fact, Dr. Morgus's friend Sid Noel is going to have a night with Sid Noel live at the Orpheum Theater. That's going to be Sunday night, October 13th, this Sunday night. Doors open at 6 o'clock. Proceeds benefit the Alzheimer's Association. So are you going to be there with your friend Sid Noel?
Oh, listen, this is going to be something that's never been done before. Imagine, I'm going to be on the big screen, and Noel is going to be on the big stage.
I see.
Oh, it's another first for the city of New Orleans. But listen, what it's really about is Alzheimer's. You know, everybody is subject to this. It's not a, there's not a cure for it. And we're there to fill up the place. And we're going to fill it up, but we still have a few seats left. You think you could get your fans to call that, what is it, Ticketmaster? Yeah. Maybe I should get Eric, because Eric could easily say Ticketmaster.
Yeah, and Eric was the skull that, you know, you talked to. So I've got a text here that says it's not Dr. Morgus, it's Professor Morgus. Is that correct? Am I wrong to say Dr.
Well,
Morgus?
Well, listen, I'll take whatever they give, you
okay.
know.
I always thought you were a doctor.
Well, I am. In fact, this is, you know, this is why I have all the different doctorates that there is, and more masters than anybody. That's why he called me master.
I see.
Because I have all the disciplines.
Morgus.
By the way.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, now look, are you going to be there, Scoop? We'd love to have somebody like you there.
Yeah, I'm gonna definitely try to make it Sunday night, because it's. I mean, this is going to be a very historic moment, and it benefits the Alzheimer's Association.
It's historic. And by the way, speaking of historic, the entire program recording is going to be given to the historic New Orleans collection.
Wow.
So it's going to be available to the public, because there's going to be a lot of history told.
Okay. For those of you who are new to New Orleans, or maybe you moved here after Katrina, or you don't remember Morgus the Magnificent, he truly was magnificent. This was a guy, doctor, professor, whatever. He did unbelievable experiments to help humanity, and he did all of these experiments from the old city ice house here in New Orleans. And he had Chopsley, his assistant, and Eric, the talking skull, would consult with him as well. And, you know, we had a few minutes to spend with him on the phone here, so we're talking to Morgus Magnificent. Morgus, when you think back on some of the great breakthroughs, scientific breakthroughs that you had, what's one that stands out in your mind?
Oh, you mean a different... Well, you know, every one of my experiments were important, so it's hard to pick out any particular one. But I tell you, cloning myself was really a dangerous thing to do, you know. When I cloned myself, my goodness, nobody had ever done that before. But that was about it. That's the biggest thing in science. But no, I've done so many things. It's going to eventually take a volume of books to cover all of that. But I'll always be here in New Orleans. I'm going to live a long time, you see. I don't tell people my age, actually. But you know what I tell them? I'm 75 plus shipping and handling.
So, Morgus, you just, I guess I want to tell you on behalf of everybody in New Orleans that you just did such an amazing job with these scientific breakthroughs, just helping, you helped humanity. And some of the things that you do, will we hear about some of those things at the show Sunday night?
Yes, and you know, not you'll see some of the better ones and some of the ones you've never seen before.
Oh, okay.
And I tell you that, Noel, I don't trust him. He's going to tell things he's not supposed to tell.
Oh, well,
oh
yeah.
My God.
Yeah, Morgus the Magnificent is a good friends with Sid Noel, and Morgus is going to be on the big screen, and Sid Noel will be there at the Orpheum on the stage. And, you know, you really can't trust what Sid Noel's going to say about Morgus the Magnificent.
That's right. So I'm going to be watching also. Isn't it strange here? But nonetheless, well, you've been very kind to check in with us here. Chopsley kind of says to say hello to you here.
Okay, and he doesn't say much, but I'm sure he's making a gesture to say hello. Tell Chopsley that Scoot says hello.
Oh, well, listen, he'd love that, you know. He's a musician. He would like to play a guitar and so forth. But, you know, we're going to fix him up one day. You'll hear about him.
All right, Morgus the Magnificent, live at the Orpheum Theater, downtown New Orleans, Sunday night. Doors open at 6 this Sunday night, October 13th, and proceeds benefit the Alzheimer's Association. Morgus, it has been an honor to talk to you and have you be part of our show, and I appreciate you taking the time.
And my thanks to all of you. Thank you, Scott.
All right.
Okay, stop.
That is Morgus, doctor, professor, scientist, whatever. It's Morgus. He's kind of crazy. In fact, he's very crazy. Yeah. There were people who took some of the things that he did very seriously. And, well, not everything turned out so well. Anyway, it's fun to talk to him. And he is still doing his experiments at the Old City Ice House in New Orleans. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, it is Free for All Friday. Our number is 260-1870, text 870-870. Also this week, we talked about a Penn State alum who sent a letter to a Penn State player calling his dreadlocks disgusting. And he also criticized players not only with dreadlocks, but with tattoos. Do football players with dreads and tats, does this somehow send the wrong message to young people? We'll talk about that. More of your calls when we come back. I'm Scoot. Friday afternoon, cold front on the way, and this is WWL. All right, we're talking about some of the topics that got a lot of attention this week, and one of them was a Penn State alum criticized one of the Nittany Lions player, calling his dreadlocks disgusting. The letter came from a Pennsylvania native, Dave Peterson. It was sent to Penn State safety Jonathan Sutherland, and it read in part, "Surely there must be mirrors in the locker room. Don't you have parents or girlfriend who've told you your shoulder-length dreadlocks look disgusting and are certainly not attractive?" So a couple of Sutherland's teammates posted the letter and suggested that it was racist to criticize the dreadlocks. I don't know about that. But as I said this week, my dad would have probably felt the same way about dreadlocks. I mean, he didn't like, you know, long hair, hated my hair most of my life. I mean, of course, when I was with, you know, at home with him, I had a, you know, short haircut like he wanted me to have. And then as soon as I got out, well, I could be a little more free to do what the hell I wanted. Anyway, he never really liked it. Loved me. I loved him. But he, you know, we didn't agree when it came to that or a lot of things. Anyway, so Peterson said that he also does not like people with tattoos. And so really, do dreadlocks and tats on college and NFL players, I mean, does this send some kind of a wrong message? This guy wants to hearken back to the days when football players had crew cuts. Well, let's remember that at the time, crew cuts were edgy. They were fashionable at the time. And, you know, when I was growing up and Johnny Unitas was playing football, I had a crew cut because that was a cool thing to have. Actually, it was not just a crew cut. It was a flat top. You put that butch wax in the front of your hair, make it stand up. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was real, real attractive. Anyway, you know, I don't get it. It's, you know, it's 2019. And we should have gotten to the point where we don't judge people by their hair or their tattoos. And I think it's especially interesting that the baby boomer generation, a generation that fought this battle with the then establishment over hair and individuality, that as the establishment, that we're still casting judgment on people because of their hair and their tattoos. Here's an interesting text that says, "People with tattoos are not offended if you don't have tattoos yourself." You see, so there should be that kind of tolerance on both sides. From Kenner, Michael, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hello, Scoot. Nice talking to you.
Thanks for calling.
Before I tell you the reason I call, I just want to say, because you had Morgus on while I was on hold, I just want to tell you real quickly, because he brings back one great memory. In 1962 or 3, you know, Morgus used to have a weather show in his early days.
That's
right. And it was hilarious. Well, The Brides of Dracula, Hammer's film, was premiering in New Orleans at the Joy Theater. And I took my little brother, who's not living anymore. He died very young. And I took him down there, and Morgus, amongst with about 12 others, picked us from the crowd, put us in the cage on the stage, and said that we had to come to the weather show, and he put us on his show. And the show was to what he did on his show, his experiment was we all had to allegedly cry because he was going to put the tears in this machine and stop the drought in the West.
See, this is the kind of stuff that Morgus did. This is why he was magnificent.
And I just wanted to say that real quick, because it brought back a beautiful memory of my little brother at the time, something that we did together. And he was good. I've met both those gentlemen, and they're both in their own way terrific guys.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to say, though, was on the other hand, speaking of Morgus, it's a good time to tell you that I went to see Joker. And I want to just say that I completely agree with you. I don't agree with some things you do and say, Scoot. I've been a caller before, but I'm going to tell you, you were spot on with Joker. That movie, if you don't want to see something dark and brilliant, don't go see it.
Yeah.
It is dark. There is some blood in it. And I think it does just as much to draw attention to the Arkham-type place as it does people saying that it's against people like that, in mentally ill. It's not. It's a freaking movie.
Yeah, I totally agree. But it does bring attention to those people who fall through the cracks,
yeah.
And they're crying out for help, and they don't get help, and bad things happen when they don't get the help that they need.
That's exactly the vein it should be taken in, along with it being a super movie. Yeah. Also, what I'm really proud of you about is when you gave your review earlier in the week, you mentioned it, but you did not blow for anyone the connection, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, the connection with Batman. Yeah.
Awesome. Very awesome.
Well, you know, I've tried to be sensitive to that over the years. Michael, I appreciate the call. Yeah, I mean, look, Joker is dark. And I'll tell you, Joaquin Phoenix is amazing. I'm sure Joaquin Phoenix will be nominated for Best Actor. And he might even get it. And he was so convincing that you got this feeling that as a person, Joaquin Phoenix could relate to this dark side of the character, Joker. From Metairie, Gordon, you're on WWL.
I'm going to take a different position.
Okay.
I saw Joker that's not my type of movie.
Okay.
I guess that's it.
Did you go thinking that it was going to be more along the lines of a comic Batman theme?
Somewhat. Well, not a Batman theme, but I thought that was going to be a comedy, sort of.
Okay.
And I didn't know. I hadn't seen the trailers on it. And
yeah, it's dark.
Yeah, I mean, he was a sad, very sad person. But like the caller just now said, I think he's going to be nominated for Best Actor.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I think he was that good. I think he was very good in when he played Johnny Cash.
Yes, Joaquin Phoenix is really, if you think about it, a very underrated actor. He was also very creepy and convincing in the role that he played as royalty in Gladiator.
I saw Gladiator, but it was a long time ago.
Yeah, he was trying to make it with his sister,
uh-huh.
Which is pretty sick.
But we like different type of movies. I did not like A Star Is Born because, you know, I don't like to go to a movie and see someone who's, you know, got drug problems and is an alcoholic and things like that. And so I didn't like that movie either.
Well, go ahead.
I'd called in some weeks ago, and I told you about, The Art of Racing in the Rain, and you said it'd be too emotional for you.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought that was a great movie.
Yeah, and I really couldn't bring myself to see it because that would not be entertaining to me. But again, this is why they have different kind of movies, you know.
Right.
You and I don't have to like the same kind of movies. But, you know, it's I'm sorry that you ended up going to see a movie that you were expecting something totally different. And there were printed up signs in the movie theater that I went to, it said, this is not your typical Batman comic-related movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, well.
All right, well, Gordon,
I
appreciate
the
call.
I like Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah. I appreciate the call. I'd love to talk to you if you saw Joker. If you haven't seen it and you're looking for something to do this weekend, I mean, there's not going to be anything on television, like Saturday night. There's not going to be anything on television Sunday afternoon. So these would be two really great times to go see Joker. Oh, if you like the LSU-Florida game, then pick another time. I mean, the Saints and the Jags, pick another time to go. But Joaquin Phoenix's character suffers from pseudo-bulbar, PBA, which is a condition defined by an individual's lack of control over spontaneous laughter or crying in situations where neither is warranted. So understandably, PBA is associated with some other form of mental illness, and it paints an individual as just like a crazy person. But the opening weekend, last weekend of Joker, set several box office records. The movie earned $93.5 million at the box office over the weekend in the U.S., set a new record for a movie opening in October. Globally, the movie did $234 million and set a record for the biggest opening at a box office for an R-rated movie. Because, you know, a lot of the movies that get so much attention, they make so much money, are PG and cartoon-type movies because people, you know, like one mother brings five kids from the neighborhood, her kid and four others, to the movie. But the bashing of Joker by some movie critics, I think, should be ignored. If you like the genre psychological thriller, then go see Joker. Cinema history is littered with movies that critics dismissed, but were enjoyed by a mass audience, reminding us that many critics are film dorks and reject movies, maybe in part because they're so mass appeal. Maybe they feel like they're not esoteric enough. Well, I thought this was a very esoteric movie. But good movies entertain us. The sign of a great movie is a movie that makes you think about it long after you've seen it. And long after I left the darkness of that theater, I thought about Joker. At one point, Joaquin Phoenix's character, Joker, says, "What do you get when you cross a mentally ill person with a society that doesn't care?" And the answer lies in the movie Joker. If you get a chance to see it, go see it. But it is dark. And it's not that gory. It's not that bloody. I mean, there's a couple of scenes where it's a realistic, violent scene, but it's not overly bloody. This is really more of a cerebral, intellectual study of somebody who is just really, really dark. And what happens when people cry out for help and they don't get the mental health help they need? It's Free for All Friday. What do you want to talk about? Our number is 260-1870. Text is 870-870. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. It's coming. It's continuing to move in this direction. Some of you might be in some rain if you're to the north or to the west of New Orleans. But a cold front is going to sweep through here tonight. We're going to have some rain, and it is going to be cooler, I guess, after midnight, and it's going to feel a lot different tomorrow. It's Free for All Friday. I'm Scoot. Glad you're with us heading into the weekend with a lot of excitement with the Saints playing the Jags in Jacksonville, LSU in Florida Saturday night in Baton Rouge at Tiger Stadium, and Tulane and Connecticut tomorrow afternoon. And the Green Wave are 4-1. I think Connecticut is 1-4. I got a text from somebody, so I don't know if this is true, but the text says that Tulane is a 35-point favorite. Somebody should look up and see when the last time Tulane was a 35-point favorite over somebody. But they're just playing great football, and it's so good for the school. And, you know, you have to admire them because, you know, Tulane's had a hard time attracting many of the right players. Because, see, at Tulane, they actually make you go to class. And so they haven't been able to get the recruits that they have always wanted. Here is a text that says, there are people who assume people with tattoos are automatically cool. Well, that's a problem. If you have tattoos, I don't assume you're cool. I don't assume you're a bad person. This text says, for 500 years, two characters got tattooed. Sailors and prostitutes. Not counting the occasional circus worker. Well, that's true. But I don't know whether you've noticed, but a lot of things have changed. If you look at an old vintage picture of Canal Street, and almost every man is wearing a tie and a hat, just walking around Canal Street. We don't do that anymore. So as human beings who evolve, we do have the ability to change. And the tattoos today are different from the tattoos that only sailors and prostitutes and carny workers got. And I would think that it would be pretty easy to distinguish the difference between those two groups. From New Orleans, Cliff, welcome to WWL.
Hey, Scoot.
Hey, Cliff.
Hey, how are you doing on this wonderful Friday afternoon?
It's awesome. It's going to be even better tomorrow.
Yeah, there you go. And I hope everybody turns out for Dr. Morgan's show on Sunday, y'all. But I'm a lawyer, and I represented Dr. Morgan at one time.
And what was it, what was the case?
Well, it wasn't a case. It was a venture he wanted to go into. He got tired of doing these awesome medical science things and whatnot, and turned his attention to children.
Hmm.
So what he developed was a story castle. It was a castle about 10 feet in diameter, about 7 feet tall. And around it, there were telephones. And the children would drop a coin in it, and they'd listen to the story. And every story had a moral to it.
That's interesting.
And, of course, this guy, Sid Noel, kept coming around trying to make the story bad. We had to run his silly butt off.
Well, Morgus has always had that interesting relationship with Sid Noel.
I know. The guy's bad news, really. So I hope everybody comes out. He's a great guy. And for those people who are new to New Orleans, who don't know Marcus, you're in for a treat as you go see Dr. Marcus's show.
All right, Cliff, I appreciate the call. Have a great weekend. If you're just tuning in, just after the news at 2 o'clock, I had a live conversation on the air with Marcus the Magnificent. Doctor, professor, scientist, whatever. The guy did a lot of experiments to help humanity. And he was on television here in New Orleans years ago doing what is called a movie wraparound. You know, he would come on before and during the movie and then go back to the movie. But he would show you his experiments and some of the great things that he was doing for humanity. Now, Marcus the Magnificent is going to be at the Orpheum Theater. It's an evening with Marcus and Sid Noel. Marcus is friends with this guy named Sid Noel, and Sid Noel is going to actually be on the stage. But Marcus the Magnificent will be in on the screen, in either video or film. And this is going to be live at the Orpheum Theater Sunday night, October 13th, this Sunday night. Doors open at 6 o'clock, and proceeds will benefit the Alzheimer's Association. So it should be a lot of fun. And, you know, Marcus always did his experiments from the old city ice house. And sometimes he ran afoul with the city of New Orleans because they weren't really that that happy with him. So if you haven't heard, to cut down on the risk of wildfires in Northern California, they have been going through some blackouts, cutting people's power off. And so, you know, just watch. 9 months from now, there'll be a baby boom. It's like, really, is that all it took? Just turning the lights out? I mean, that's all it took? You lose electricity? We've got nothing else to do, so let's do that? I mean, that wouldn't be fun if you had other stuff to do? I mean, if the only reason you're doing that is because the electricity went out, then you'd never want to get a standby generator from Mayer's AC and generators, because then you'd never have an excuse. But I hope that's not your only excuse for doing that. Here's an update on our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo poll. Where will you watch the LSU-Florida game Saturday night? 95% say home alone. 5% say at Tiger Stadium. Nobody says at a crowded bar or restaurant. But there, you know, there will be some crowded bars and restaurants. Also, since this is a free-for-all Friday, we're talking about some of the big topics that got attention during the week. And one of the topics that surprisingly got a lot of attention, and I really wasn't planning on it getting much attention, was a Trump supporter waved a gun at a woman because she had an Elizabeth Warren bumper sticker on her car. And he had a bumper sticker that said Trump 2020. And he pulls up alongside of the car, and they go back and forth talking to each other with the windows rolled down. And at some point, the guy waves a gun at her. And some people tried to excuse this behavior and say that I'm wrong, that there was nothing malicious intended. He was just trying to show the woman that this is what Elizabeth Warren wants to take away from you if she gets elected. And I believe that if you're having a discussion that's turning ugly about politics or anything, and somebody pulls out a gun and waves it at you, it seems to me that the implied suggestion there is, I'll kill you. I'm going to friggin' shoot you because I disagree with you. And it's like, really? The woman has an Elizabeth Warren bumper sticker on her car and you're going to wave your gun? Well, that's illegal and it's a reckless use of a gun. And that's not what the Second Amendment protects. The guy was arrested and he does face charges. Also, we have talked about Ellen and Bush sitting together and laughing, and there was criticism of that. And we also talked about the N-word used in a chant before a game with St. Aug and Brother Martin. And some people actually defended it. And I don't see how you can defend the use of that word at a school. And since one of the coaches led the chant, that makes it a school-sanctioned chant on the school campus. And there's no justification for using the N-word in that situation. Zero. And there were people who say, well, you know, since I'm white, I have no right to tell a predominantly black high school that they can't say that word and use that. I beg to differ. And I beg to differ mainly because of the First Amendment. Don, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hello, Scoot. You kind of jabbed me there. You know, me and my wife had four children, and I attribute it to the fact that we couldn't afford cable TV.
Ah, that's it, huh? So if you had cable TV, you'd have no kids.
Right, probably not.
Yeah. All right, Don, I appreciate the call. Glad, you know, so you have contributed to the world because you had cable TV. You've contributed 4 children to the world. Blackouts in Northern California, you watch. You know, they had that big blackout in New York City years ago. 9 months later, there was a baby boom in New York City. I'm serious. You got nothing else to do, so, oh, well, let's do that. Happy birthday today to Daryl Hall, who is really one of the most talented singers in pop music. Hall & Oates were just this incredible, still are this incredible duo. And this was maybe their first early hit, Sarah Smile. And Daryl Hall, just a really talented vocalist. Daryl Hall, 73 years old today. I'm Scoot, and it's a Free For All Friday. And we'll be back on WWL. It was on this day, October the 11th, 1960, the Bugs Bunny Show debuted on ABC. You talk about violent television, think about some of the violence that happened in Bugs Bunny. And yet, there was a time when parents were not willing to allow television to be blamed for violent behavior. Hey, I've got a lot to get to. We've got the code word coming up, but I want to share with you some text coming up right after the news at 3. One text is about a comment that I made about Tulane making their athletes go to class, and somebody has just like gone off on a tangent with that. Can't wait to address that. And then there is there's a couple of texts about me talking about this Trump supporter. Man, I can't wait to set the record straight on this. This is so much fun. Okay, this is our free cash giveaway, and the code word this hour is culture. Text CULTURE to 72881. Text culture to 72881. By doing so, you're qualified to win $1,000 at our nationwide Intercom National Cash Contest. Good luck from all of us at WWL. We never charge for text, but individual plan text and data rates may apply. And please don't text and drive. Next code word will come up right before the top of the hour news at 4 o'clock. All right, when we come back, I'm going to share a couple of texts with you and set the record straight. And I want to share with you the mentality of some people who listen to talk radio, because it is quite entertaining from where I sit. It's also kind of scary. We'll be back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.